This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Here I am, Dr. Jeff Werber, your host for the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio. You know the drill. Here you are with Dr. Jeff Werber, host of the next 30 minutes here. You can just join me here. Would love to. You know, I love talking pets. I love helping people with their pets. It's amazing how I get a lot of positive feedback from people just hearing the show. Hey, Steph, how you doing? So anywhere, we're here on Instagram Live. I'm here for you, here for your pets. Steve, good morning. How you doing? Happy anniversary. And let's see. So mine was yesterday. My sister and brother-in-law is today. And boy, Steve, 21 years. Woo! Anyway, I'm 44 years. So that deserves a medal. So anyway, Sharon, how are you? How do you get a hold of me? Well, here at your Instagram Live, you're just here. And on Pet Life Radio, you can join me here. There's something happened this week, last week, to my, unfortunately, my sister and brother-in-law's dog. And it's something that we see. It's concerning to me because it's not really preventable. The problem is not preventable. So what you need to do is understand and know, first of all, what it is, what dogs are predisposed, and what you can do and how fast. Here's the key with this. You need to go fast. And it is called, well, the simple term is bloat. Technically, it's called GDV. It's a gastric dilatation volvulus. What happens is the stomach sitting in the chest. It's usually deep-chested, large-breed dogs. Can happen to other dogs, too. But if you have a deep-chested, large-breed dogs, your retrievers, Great Danes, Notorious, Dobermans, standard poodles. And now, so you have all these doodles, which are usually a retriever, golden or Labrador, with a poodle. So again, prime targets. What happens is that because of that deep-hanging chest, these dogs, by the way, it doesn't necessarily mean running around. It's not like mom telling you don't go swimming, you know, for an hour after you eat. These dogs will eat fast and they will drink a lot of water. So the volume of ingesta in the stomach literally starts to increase dramatically. So now you have a heavy weighting stomach. So now the dog can easily be just lying down on one side and then rolling over to the other side. But that stomach is its weight. It doesn't roll with them. It stays there. So basically, the body is rotating around the stationary stomach. So now you can see what happens is the front of the top of the stomach and the cardia and the bottom of the stomach with pylorus, they literally now twisted 360 degrees. Now what happens? That seals off both. Okay, both the top end and the bottom end. So now gas in the stomach starts increasing, and that's why we call it bloat, is it fills up with gas. And so now the spleen, which is also heavy, starts to get engorged because the blood can't escape. So the deeper major arteries are pushing with more pressure, so the blood can still rush in, but now the blood can't ooze out from the veins. And you end up having a major problem with that. And you have to get there fast. You have to recognize it. These dogs will start to dry heave vomiting. All right. And so that's what happens. They dry heave. They're trying to vomit, but they can't. And these are the things you want to recognize. A dog, exactly that. Trying to vomit, but nothing really coming out. Maybe a little bit of phlegm, a little bit of stomach acid. All right. Their stomach is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Their abdomen, I should say. You can't feel the stomach, but the abdomen. So it's almost like you get tight like a drum. You beat on it, you can push it in. The dog is getting weaker. Look at the gums. They're getting a little paler. They're getting sluggish. This is an emergency. We're going to talk about emergencies in the second half of the show. What is an emergency? This is an emergency. You need to get your dog to an emergency facility as fast as you can. As I say, do not stop, go, collect your adrenologist, just run as fast as you can, and you can save their life. It's an immediate surgery. It's a surgical disease, and now, depending on how extensive the damage is, because it depends how long the blood supply was cut off, you need to derotate the stomach. That's what we do in surgery, and then we sometimes have to look at the spleen. Many times, the spleen has to be removed as well, and then you tap the stomach to the right side of the inside of the chest to prevent it from happening again. But here's the key. The dog can have a very successful surgery, but for the next 48 hours, they have to be monitored very carefully because what we get is a reperfusion injury. As soon as the stomach is derotated, putting back at the normal position, and now all the blood starts pouring in to where it couldn't fill less, and it is becomes a major problem. So again, we need to be very, very careful, monitored. Their blood gases have to be monitored. In general, it's a very problem-based surgery and a condition, but many times, if it's, you get there soon enough, fast enough, and the animal is a good candidate for surgery, then it could be fixed. Many times it happens to these older dogs and they have other problems associated and they're not good candidates for surgery. The risk of surgery is worse than the bloat. It is very frustrating because you did nothing wrong. So one of the things that we could do to help, knowing if you have that dog that of that breed, of that body formation, is first of all, don't let them gobble up water and food so fast. I recommend slow feeders. My yellow lab, who's now 14, I mean, he's been on a slow feeder since he was a pup, because retrievers notoriously can't stop eating fast enough. They would just want to gobble it up all at once. So that's a problem. And then also what happens a lot of times, especially if it's hot, when they come in from a walk, they'll go to that water bowl and they will polish off an entire water bowl in one sitting. You cannot let them do that. You got to pace it. Think about it. You don't want that stomach to bloat, to get really huge. And that's how we help this. It is really a very frustrating condition because there's not a lot you can do to prevent it other than that, but it still can happen. All right. Any questions about that, please reach out to me. Meanwhile, I'm waving. So, my senior dog, 13 years of old, sudden showing dizziness and falling on his back. Okay. We had a video conversation with the Ayurved. Okay. So here's the thing that usually when I see that, the first question I'm going to ask is, did it come on suddenly? The answer, yes. And I had a very famous person, a very big Hollywood person. Years ago, I was at a conference in Miami and Florida, Orlando, at the VAN. It was a North American Veterinary Conference. They renamed the VMX. And I get a call from this guy. He says, we lost, the dog's name was Norman. We lost Norman. I go, what do you mean you lost him? He goes, he's here, but he's not here. He's glued to the ground. He can't get up. Every time he gets up, he falls over. And already in my mind, this is where experience plus a little bit of knowledge, I don't know how much knowledge I have, but certainly experience after 40 plus years is wisdom. I asked him, I said, do me a favor. I want you to grab his face. I want you to look straight into his eyes. What are his eyes doing? He goes, they're flickering back and forth. Okay, now that just confirmed what I kind of knew already, but I wanted to confirm it before I tell him, don't go to emergency. And that is, it is idiopathic vestibular disease. It is a balance and equilibrium problem, inner middle ear. It can come on like that. It often goes away fairly quickly. It could take days, but it's going to go away. Nothing you really need to do about it. Sometimes you give them Benadryl, not so much to stop the problem, but it kind of calms them down. Then you can give something like people take for dizziness, all right? So any of those anti-dizzy pills, meclizine, a trade name Bonine, you can do that as well. 25 milligrams, a milligram per pound. So it happens with any dog, but that's how you kind of dose it. And it's very safe. Even if you overdose a little bit, it's not so terrible. And tincture of thyme. There's really not, just protect him, make sure he doesn't fall over, make sure he gets anything out of his way. He won't hurt himself when he tries to get up. But basically what happens is, this is our plane of equilibrium. With these dogs, it's now like this. So he's trying to right himself, but he can't because his plane of normal is off. So everything is cockeyed. And it is scary to see, but it is idiopathic vestibular disease. The term idiopathic, we joke about it in veterinary medicine. Cat Snippers, how you doing? We joke, idiopathic means it happens on its own with no known cause, nothing that you did, nothing that happened to the dog. It's idiopathic. We, as veterinarians, we joke and say idiopathic, it means we're a bunch of idiots and we can't figure out why it happened. But anyway, it does happen. It looks worse than it is. So people, I've been telling them the story that you let this guy, you just told him, don't worry about it, not sending him to, Jeff, he can ruin you. I said, I know that, you know what? I was right. And as I said, it was, there are very few things, unless he got a hold of something. But even then, there's really no treatment unless he's really hurting himself because of the dizziness, but they do pretty well. All right. For each other, lesson, although slow, yes, it's still going to be tilt his head. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you one thing. that my mom's dog, Sheba, a white German Shepherd, had this problem multiple times over her latter years. And she finally recovered completely, but her head for the rest of her life was a little bit tilted. That was her new world. Her new equilibrium was now like this, but she lived with it. And it was really cute because she would always have her head cocked a little bit to the side, but she did fine. All right, Bella, say 18, hello. Hello, I'm waving and waving. What are your thoughts? The attending vet, oops, hold on. Followed up and did not recommend anything for them other than observational examinations. Again, there's really no treatment. The only thing I would do, because they're dizzy, is I would use an anti-dizzy medication, something for vertigo, and that's meclizine or bonine. You find it with Dramamine, but it's a little better than Dramamine. It's over the counter. Just go to the CVS or the Walgreens and milligram per pound. Ivoxane is going to help. It may help, but I'll tell you one thing, it won't hurt. So it's worth a try. All right. Away from the stairs. Nothing that they can fall with. All right. LA Pet Care. Hey, how you doing? Lauren and Quintero join. Life with Corrigate suddenly. Emily. Love this. Okay. Diarrhea for almost a week without control of normal otherwise. Thoughts? So tested negative for Giardia. So when we see this, by the way, thank you a lot. This is a great question. So when we have this kind of diarrhea, it's usually mucus, a little blood sometimes, and when it's red blood, that's very important. I'll tell you in a minute why. But they're otherwise normal. They're eating normal. They're acting normal. Everything else is normal. So that's why when I hear this, again, I don't panic. This is one of those emergencies, which really isn't. We'll talk about that after our break. So what I recommend, firstly, simply adding a little fiber to the diet. Bran, cooked oatmeal, canned pumpkin, cooked sweet potato, psyllium powder, pure psyllium powder. Don't get the stuff that's in the commercial products unless you check the ingredients and make sure they don't have a xylitol, which is an artificial sweetener that is often added to the psyllium on the commercial products. And obviously dogs don't do well with xylitol. So you give add a little, small amount. Maybe for a 40-pound dog, it'll be one or two teaspoons. If you use psyllium powder, which is a lot more concentrated, it might be a half a teaspoon. Smaller dogs might be a quarter. Little dogs might be an eighth of a teaspoon of psyllium powder. But they're very effective. Now, other things that you can do, you can talk to your veterinarian if that doesn't work, and maybe a little Flagyl. Flagyl will help. But the problem is, don't panic. Don't start changing foods. Because if you switch out foods, then that's another thing that causes. So what causes this? Now, I'll run down the list. It's pretty complete list, but you're going to think in your head, wow, it could have been any of those. Well, a lot of those happen. Nerves, stress, excitement, anxiety, diet change, eating something he or she shouldn't have. And finally, Giardia, a parasite, which was already tested negative. So when you think of a dog's daily routine, how many things? I mean, that could be a lot of those things. They go for the walks. They went to the dog park. They're excited. New people, bad people, you know, another dog in the house, somebody going on outside, delivery people barking at the door. All of that, if it gets them worked up too much, and of course, any kind of diet. You gave a new treat. They got a hold of something. Now you decided to change food too quickly. There are many possibilities. As long as they're acting fine and you're seeing mushy stool, soft like cow patty consistency, maybe some mucus on it, maybe some blood. Now, let's talk about the blood. How do we know that it's large bowel versus small bowel? When it's large bowel, large intestine, at the very end of the GI tract, if it bleeds a little bit because of the inflammation, losing of some of the mucus layer, which is usually protective, then the blood coming out is going to be fresh blood. We call it frank blood. Now, if there's bleeding like an ulcer, or an irritated high up in the GI tract, say the stomach or small intestine, by the time it comes out, it's going to be black and tarry. When you see black stool, that's more of a concern. That's going to require some investigation, a veterinary visit, some more not heavy duty drugs, but specific drugs that will coat the ingesta, coat the intestine. And these dogs, if they have small bowel diarrhea, they're usually not acting normally. They're depressed, lethargic, they're not eating well. I mean, so there are other things that are going on. So anyway, you have to keep that in mind. So try those adding the fiber and let me know. Over-the-counter meds, yeah, it's going to be either meclizine, trade name is Bonine, B-O-N-I-N-E, but you now generic meclizine, it comes 25 milligrams. You dose it at a milligram per pound. So a 50-pound dog would get two, a little corgi, and it might just get one, you know, 25 pounds, maybe 30 pounds. I'm glad that AirVet made you comfortable. I love it. All right, so yes. Totally. AirVet, it's saved you an emergency run. And that's why I promote it a lot. Okay. Oh, yeah. So Hardwick Sharon. Yes. Anything that swells up that stomach to make it like heavy within that deep chest. If it's a narrow chest, a small chest, then it really can't make the move. But if it's a deep chest and they turn, then again, so now we recommend that you modify the amount of food or water they can take in too fast. That slow feeder that I use, it works wonders. I mean, my little dogs will eat their smaller amount of food, but they'll eat relative to their body size way faster. I go out and Tommy is still munching away because it really slows him down. All right, we are time for a break. So, hey, JB, how you doing? So don't go away. We'll be right back. By the way, 877-385-8882. Those of you that are here on Pet Life Radio, if you want to get a hold of me, 877-385-8882 and call, because I want to, now we'll have a little more time in the second half of the show if you have any questions. For those of you on IG, stay tuned, stay here. We're going to take a break here on Pet Life Radio for our commercial breaks.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back live. We're just talking about Labradors. I have the question from Catsnippers. Two labs that are out of control with food. Absolutely nothing can be left on a counter, even high up. They would eat until they pop. That is, and I'm just joking, that's what we all joke about Labradors. They do not know when enough is enough. They will eat until they bloat. So we got to be very, very, very careful with them. We leave nothing out. If I have a lab, I joke, in our kitchen, we have these latches to close drawers, like lock them. They're basically for babies. I mean, yes, I have grandkids and I use it for them as well. But even when no one's around, it's just the two of us, and I leave the lab in the kitchen, I'm going to definitely have them shut. He knows how to open drawers. Their nose, and he's 14 years old. He can't jump up as much anymore. So maybe things on top of the counter are a little bit safe, but no. As far as anything he can reach, it's history if I don't lock it. So those are Labradors for you. Oh, okay. Recommended flea care for cats. All right. So I would say that the one I like the best is Credelio. There is still Revolution, which is now Synergy Selamectin. It's the Revolution is no longer the only one. The active ingredient is called Selamectin. It is sold as Selamectin. It is sold as another brand, Synergy. It is sold still originally as Revolution. I still like that. I still find it effective. I don't find it safe for dogs. I just don't find it as effective anymore, but it seems to still work on cats. Remember, it's a topical. When you put a topical on a cat, it's got to be very high up, not between the shoulder blades like you do a dog. Like the old stuff, like when you used Advantage and Frontline. No. This, you have to put way up high at the nape of the neck, almost just behind the head, because they can't turn around and lick it. They can get through the shoulder blades, though. So keep that in mind. But Credelio is a pill. It is a once-a-month pill. I find it very effective. And for those of you who used to use Comfortis, which I liked as well, they are no longer making it. I don't know whether it's political. It's not a safety issue. I think they were losing market share because of all these new ones. Again, I'm not in that industry. I'm not privy to all the reasons why some of these companies will stop making a product. It was made by a very reputable company who's still in business. I think it was a market share issue. It just wasn't worth it with all these new products, and they didn't want to go ahead and compete. Anything that will make them full. Yes, anything. The whole idea is to maintain some control over what goes into the mouths. All right. Cats go Fleeker. Oh, cats go outside. Fleeker. Yes. So that's what I'm saying. It's going to be Cordelio. It would be a Cordelio cat. And I don't think any of the other three isoxazolines are making cat. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think NexGard, again, because Cordelio was the only one, might be coming out or might have already come out with a cat product as well. But don't count on it. I got to do some more homework on that. But I believe I saw something recently, NexGard cat. And again, NexGard, a very good product as well. So I'll tell you what, for sure, when I come back in January from VMX in Orlando, I will know a lot more because though I work with, ScribbleVet, I work with a company, but I will still be walking through the halls, getting information for you, doing stuff for my social media. So I'll find out. Oh, good. Isn't that nice? My Life with Corgis, the $35 a month membership for ever just paid for itself. And it did. It did. Okay. So Kelly, how you doing? Ah, good. Shannon, great question. That's why I'm very careful, and I try to be, that when we talk about adding fiber, any of those fibers, the sweet potato, the pumpkin, yes, if you give too much, that's why I'm very careful because people said, no, I offered him, pumpkin or offered him a sweet potato. How much I gave him instead of his food? I'm going, no, I want to be very careful, very, very clear about this. You don't want to change their food. You want to feed their regular food, regular everything. Just add to it a teaspoon to a tablespoon, depending on the size of the animal, of whatever the fiber it is. And whenever you, if you think of using psyllium powder, do a quarter to a half of that dose. So if you're going to give a teaspoon of pumpkin, use a quarter teaspoon of psyllium powder. If you're going to use a half a teaspoon, use an eighth. I mean, you just got to be really, really careful because psyllium powder, very effective. I know that the GI people that I've heard speak recently like psyllium the best. So I'm throwing it out there. But I have also had a lot of luck with the other high fiber. Cooked oatmeal, canned pumpkin, cooked sweet potato, cooked yams. Those seem to work well also. All right. For flea care for outdoor indoor cats, yes. So again, that's what they're going to be the recommendation, JB. Either still use the topical Revolution or also under trade names, Synergy, Selamectin. The actual drug is Selamectin. It's an ivermectin derivative. Or you can do for sure Credelio Cat, Credelio. I like that one too. You can get it online. It's got to be approved by a veterinarian. So make sure you let your veterinarian know they're going to get either something from Chewy or whatever, Vet's First Choice or Pet, 1-800 Pet Meds. Or you know what? If you have a Costco has a pretty darn good selection of pet medications. But you need the written prescription from your veterinarian. So keep that in mind. But it's a very good product. As I said, maybe NexGard will be coming out with their cat answer if they haven't already. Oh, good. I'm glad you're using the Credelio. Ah, there we go. NexGard Plus has a great cat and flea product. So thank you, cat snippers. So yeah, it did come out. I don't have it yet. I probably will because I really do like the NexGard line. And but we have Credelio available too. So anyway, that's good. What is a home remedy to avoid dermatitis on dogs? Our white dogs are like a twin on your rescue started to have yeast on his skin. Okay. All right. So there's really no great home remedy, but yeah, I guess there is. I take that back. You need to find a good shampoo or topical spray. I have one called Dermamist. Duxo has a very good product. There are good products out there that have an antibacterial. It's usually going to be benzoyl peroxide or chlorhexidine or benzalkonium chloride and ketoconazole. It's a topical antifungal. The thing is, when you are going to put something topical on your dog, you got to be careful. If it's one spot, you can use like a cream or ointment, but you can't do that for a whole body. So it's got to be something that is easy, that is not going to clog up pores. That's why I like a spray or good shampoo. Now, when you're going to shampoo a dog with anything that is like this for these product problems, think about this. If you had a sore and you put a triple antibiotic ointment on it, and as soon as, right after you put it on, you wiped it off, how effective is it going to be? Not much. So you got to let it sit there for at least 10, preferably 15 minutes. Just lather up the dog. Let it sit there, whether it's outside, hooked up like you're using your garden hose, like you're washing your car. Or if it's a smaller dog and you're going inside the tub, or if it's a really small dog, inside of the kitchen sink or the laundry room sink. But you got to, after the lather up, before you rinse off, it's got to sit there. And it's going to do some work. Now, for medications, if it's a yeast dermatitis, yeast, by the way, very difficult And unfortunately, we see a number of dogs that have it. You may need, on top of the topical stuff, you may need medication. It's either going to be fluconazole, ketoconazole, itraconazole, but those have to come from your veterinarian. And you want to have your dog checked first. And sometimes they can do little really cool smears, skin scrapings, or I call a Scotch tape test, where you take an area that you think is, it's got flaky, and it's, they take a piece of regular old clear, good, you got to be clear, not the frosted tape, clear Scotch tape, like Scotch brand, okay? And you put it on, you push it really hard, and then you put it off, put it right on a microscope, and you stain it, and you can actually see some of these, the fungal particles. So that is another possibility to make a diagnosis. Nima, hi, how are you? Thank you for following. I said, you know, while cleaning my five water fountains. Yeah, no, it's good. Interestingly, I said, one of my cats loves to drink straight out of a faucet. It hits his face, it drives his face, and he licks it as it's coming off his face, or he puts his paw under the water, and as it's filling up on the paw, he's licking it off at the same time. But he also will drink water. I have a fairly good-sized water bowl in the kitchen, and I'm amazed at how fast these cats drink water. And if Tommy, my lab, gets to it, that's why I got to be really careful. As I said, I don't want to have him drink too much at once. But then again, if he's thirsty, I feel guilty. So you have to do is, you know, if he's sitting at that water bowl drinking, you know he's thirsty. So take the bowl away, wait, you know, 20, 30 minutes, and then let him have some more water. Just, you don't want to like have him do it too much all at once, because that's again, what might predispose him to bloat. That's how we started the show, talking about GDV, gastric dilatation volvulus, and it is a very serious condition, and I obviously want to avoid that. Amanda, hello. I want to make sure I got everybody. So anyway, Vishal, I got you there. Now I'm way back. So let's see. All right, so I'll be next Sunday. I think it depends on what time I get back. I already told Mark, our producer over at Pet Life Radio, I am going to be in Chicago for the American Animal Hospital Association show. And I don't come back. So I have an early, early flight, like at 6 a.m. So I don't land until like 8:30. I probably won't get my car and get here in time. So I may do my show, if it's okay with all of you, at 10. I told Mark that as soon as I land, I will call him and get it set up. Since I'm a live show, he might be able to change some other things around. Mark, am I still the only live show on Pet Life? Yeah, so I'm only a live show. So I'm a real big pain in the butt for him, because the other shows he can play anytime. Mine, it's got to be right on time. So for those of you who are available, instead of being 9 a.m. here, noon in the East, it's going to be, or in Chicago, would have been 11. So now it's going to go probably an hour later, hopefully. If I realize if there's any problem, you know, flying at this time of year, who knows? So we'll see. It should be a good show. And then I have a lot of traveling coming up over the next few months. So, but I think it shouldn't usually affect my Sundays. Anyway, if you have any questions during the week, you don't have to wait until Sunday. You can reach me anytime here on Pet Life Radio, just drjeff@petliferadio.com, or at Instagram, just type away. You're already here. You know how to get a hold of me. Tell your friends, by the way, I'd appreciate it to start following me on Instagram. I'm realizing how many people praise and are so fond of the show or just of having access to me. It really does. It's going to save you angst. It's going to save you money, because most of the things that we can talk about, I can help you with, would have gone to emergency had you not been able to talk to somebody. And I would tell you 90%, maybe even higher than that, of the quote-unquote emergencies that you're dealing with are not. And except one of the ones that is that bloat. So you got to act fast. All right, anyway, have a great week, everybody. I'm off. So one of our high school classmates, so I'm going to see my brother-in-law and my sister and my wife. We all went to the same high school. And one of our friends, one of my classmates and Steve's classmates, has a place right in Santa Monica, right on the beach. It's a beautiful place right on Santa Monica Beach. And we're having kind of like a mini reunion, mostly from one of the elementary schools that they all went to. I didn't, but they most of my friends from high school happen to be from this elementary school. So I become an honorary member of the Hawthorne group. So anyway, looking forward to seeing everybody. And again, we'll be here maybe next week, but if we are, it's going to be an hour later. Hang in there with me. I promise I'll do my best. Otherwise, we'll see you in 2 weeks. But during You don't have to wait to see me on Pet Life Radio or on Instagram. You can get a hold of me anytime. All right. Be well. Take care.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.